verses 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and for what is unseen is eternal. May God add his blessing to this reading.
Morning. I think this is the first time that I've been able to speak with you and say thank you for the way that you have supported our ministry back at my home church at New Hope Community Church. If you're ever in the area, in the Meadowview area, stop by. We'd love to have you with us. But the reason why I don't get out and speak more often is because, for one thing, I'm the only one on staff there. And so when I go somewhere else to preach, and I have to find all these other people to fill my spot, and there's a lot of people that I have to contact. So anyway, so that's how come I don't speak that often at other churches. But really, what I wanted to do today is to speak on investing in eternity, but also to come and just to thank you for your support of our ministry. We call it the Gift of Groceries. We don't like to just call it our food closet ministry, just because sometimes that gives a weird connotation, and we don't want people to feel bad if they have to use our food closet ministry, right? So we call it the Gift of Groceries. You have been very instrumental in keeping that ministry running. And so you might not understand that right now, not know that, but your church does give monthly to support us. Some of the people, your people stop by and help out on Thursdays. And so we're thankful for that too. So we have been able to share God's love and share the gospel with hundreds, if not thousands, of people through the 10 years that we have been in ministry. And so I want to show you a video, this happened last year, and I hope they have the audio going on this. No, not yet? Oh, man. Okay. They're working on it. But it's a milestone that the ministry reached last year when we were just almost 9 years old. And I'm trying to stall for them here. let me as they're getting that booted up, okay, let me just tell you this. You know, we have donation bins too that sit around your church, right? And you guys have donated clothing, donated household goods, all of those types of things too. And I want you to understand where that's going, okay? We not only have the food ministry, but we also have a clothes ministry. And so the clothes ministry is blessed by all of your donations of clothing. And the lady that runs the clothing ministry, her name is Kathy Strahling, and she actually started coming to our church through the food closet ministry. Okay, through the Gift of Groceries, and then she started to attend our church. She became a Christian. She was baptized at our church, and now she runs that ministry. And so that blesses people every week, and that place is full as people go in and out of the food or the clothing ministry. We call that clothing ministry blessings. Okay, And so she runs that. Now, you ask, what happens to the other stuff that's given, like the household goods and all those types of things? The household goods and stuff, those are sorted through. And in July, in August, we have a ministry of going to a migrant farm camp where is it at? I forgot. It's near Wilton, I think it is. But anyway, we go to a migrant farm camp, and we give away a bunch of the toys and the household goods that are given. We give that to the migrant farm camp, and then we keep a bunch of the things and we give it away during Christmas, and we like to call it like our free garage sale. Okay, so anyone who comes at Christmas time to our Christmas service, we serve a free meal, okay, a Christmas meal, and they come for our service, and then we open up a room, and we have the room just stocked with everything that has been donated, the toys, the household goods, all of those kinds of things, and they're all placed in a room, and people can go in the room and pick what they would like, you know, to take home with them, and they leave, and so all of those things have really blessed the people in the Meadowview area. And so I just want you to understand that that is what is happening with the clothes that you give, the household goods that you give, and then of course with the donation for our food ministry. Okay, you guys got that up and running yet? One more minute. okay. I don't know what else to say. You guys, I know what I can say. Some of you might not understand exactly how big the food ministry is that we run out of our church. You'll be able to see, you know, a video of things and that kind of stuff. But this is just to give you an idea. Now, in the video, he's going to mention that we have given away in the 9 years that we were in existence, given away 2 million pounds of food. Okay? Now, that was a very, very conservative estimate. And so every year, the food ministry has grown. And so they recalculated that out. And so for this year, and I just got the numbers from him just, you know, like 2 days ago. But this year, we would have given out, this is our 10th year in existence, we would have given out 5 million pounds of food. Okay? Now, that's an incredible amount of food, okay? 5 million pounds of food, it's about 21,000 pounds per week that we give out. Okay? We have a truck that goes to the Sacramento Food Bank, and they load up food on that. We have to buy some of the food, okay, the canned goods, the dry goods, all of those kinds of things. But then we also have produce, and we have a lot of produce. And as you can imagine, it was, they got the sound working, okay? We have so much produce, okay, and like watermelons, for instance. Everyone went home with a free watermelon, okay? When you do that, watermelons, they weigh a lot, right? And so to get up to 21,000 pounds each week is very, very simple, very, very easy, actually, okay? I'm going to go ahead and, are you guys, they're still getting the video going here. You got the sound going, that's good.
Number 19.
Is she here? That's good. It's all the Windows operating system here. Yeah.
19. Is she here?
One of the things that you will see on this video, and the way that we do distribution, is we want to get to know the people that are in line. We don't want them to just be a number. And I know that there are some food ministries where, you know, you go in there, you give them your number, they say thank you, they give you a bag of groceries, and you leave. For us, we do it differently. We want to get to know people. And so we have actually been able to, we do pass out numbers. You have to be organized in that way. We have to keep track of how many people and, you know, all of those types of things. But they come through the line, and then they're given a bag of groceries, but then they keep going through a line that passes out, like, you know, the produce and the pastries that we get and all of those types of things. And so as they're going through the line, we have people that are stationed there to tell them how much they can take and, you know, that kind of stuff. But we get to know people that way too. And so it goes, you know, through our sanctuary, through the back of our sanctuary, the line forms, and then they go outside, and it goes all the way down the side of our church building. And so we have a lot of volunteers that are needed in order to do it this way. But we have been able to, once again, this is not just, the volunteers are not just from New Hope Community Church, not at all, okay? There's people from probably 4, 5, maybe even 6 churches around the area that help out. And so that's how come, you know, if you are free on a Thursday, like about 1 o'clock or so, that's when our food distribution starts. But really, we would welcome you to come out and to help us distribute food, because we always are in need of volunteers to do it the way that we're doing. Okay, you guys got it? No, still don't have the video going, huh?
19, number 19.
Yeah, just imagine what you saw before. That's good. Yeah. It's the VGA's not working, the VGA cable.
I think we have reason to celebrate.
This is a love-hate relationship with technology that we're having right now. Yeah. Enough. People, volunteers. Oh, food. Yes, we have plenty of food. And you'll see, well, if they get the video going, you'll see how much food we actually do pass out. We usually have about between like 250, 300, 350 people in line. And there's about, you know, 3 or 4 people per family or per person. And so you'll hear, he gives a number, Ed Connor, who runs the ministry, he gives a number of how many people we have actually fed. So even though, you know, you have a person in line, that person represents at least 3 or 4 more people.
100,000.
Okay, any other questions that you guys have on the food ministry? I know they're trying to get this set up.
That is obviously a monumental accomplishment for such a small ministry as ours.
We usually go until about 3 o'clock, 2:30 to 3 o'clock. Yeah, and once again, if you can only stay for, you know, an hour or something like that, that's fine too. So we just need to know that, and we coordinate with all of our volunteers. Yeah. Anybody. Anybody, yes, yes. And so we don't ask for ID or anything like that, but we do ask them to sign their name, their address, their name, their zip code, and how many people are in their family. And that's it. We don't stipulate that, you know, you can't do it if you make over this amount or anything like that.
If you have been a volunteer at this ministry, just for
yes, we get homeless people, but the majority of the people that come are what you would call the working poor. And so they're just trying to make ends meet for that week, that month. If, you know, their car breaks down, then they're really in trouble, you know, that kind of a thing. And of course, the thing that we really, I guess it doesn't happen often, but we're really thankful when it does, is when we have a story of somebody who came to our ministry because they were in desperate need, but then they got a job. And so now they don't have to come anymore. And we've had people, you know, actually give us monetary donations to just say thank you, you know, for being there for us. We do also have a jobs ministry, by the way, because we don't want people to come to the food ministry if they don't have to, right? And if you can work instead, that would be awesome. And so we have a job ministry in order to help them find jobs, to write their resume, to help them in, you know, showing up for an interview, all of those types of things. We have that too, that service.
Number 19.
It's not finding it, huh? That is so weird.
Is she here?
Number 20.
That's right. Oh, funny. Oh, man.
19.
Yeah, we good. Yeah, we good. Yeah. It's good.
Is she here?
Number 20.
Yeah. It's okay. We
have you back.
Yeah, we gotta Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if they get it going, that's cool. We could watch it at the end too, so no big deal. But yeah, in the video you will see, you know, tables full of you know, salads and, you know, all of those kinds of things, pastries, all of these things. And so we actually were able to get you actually have to apply and for what's called USDA. That's where when the USDA actually supplies everything that you pass out that day. And so, I mean, they come up with really good stuff, right? I know a lot of you might think it's just cheese and things like that, right? But they get, you know, like spaghetti and all these canned goods and, you know, salmon, canned salmon, you know, all of these types of things. Anyway, we were approved to be a distribution point for USDA. And so we did that for the last 6 months, and now we have been approved to do that twice a month. And so we pass out produce and everything still, but we also get all the USDA stuff. And so that has really been a blessing too, to the recipients. Okay, I will let Matt fool around with that. I wanted to talk today about investing in eternity. And this is one of the defining characteristics of all Christians, that we are supposed to be so invested in eternity that the temporal things here on this earth start to lose their attractiveness because our minds and our hearts are focused on eternity instead. And so that's how come I wanted to have you read, you know, the 2 Corinthians 4. So if you could turn to 2 Corinthians 4 again. I think it was page 1144 in the Pew Bibles there. But 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 16. And I'm sorry, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. That's the translation that we use at our church. I should have asked about which one you use here, and I know now that you guys use NIV. But 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever." So you see, the things that we see now, you know, whether they're the good things of life, right, or the troubles in life, all these things that we experience, these are the things that the world has to offer. But these things are fleeting. They're going to be gone. The things that we are to live for are the things that we cannot see, because those are the things that are eternal. Now, for those of us who are older, okay, and I put myself in that category too, okay? Those of us who are older, we experientially understand what the Apostle Paul says when he says in these verses that our bodies are dying. Okay? Our bodies are dying. For those of you who are younger, it's easy to sort of wave off those words and basically say, well, that's true for you older guys or older folk, right? But not so much for me, those types of things. Because when you're younger, eternity seems to be so far off, so far off. Of course, we understand that that's not necessarily true, right? Things happen and people step into eternity before they thought that they would. And, you know, the hurricanes, the floods, the earthquakes, the wildfires that, you know, California and the rest of the U.S. have been experiencing, those are examples of the unexpected turns that life can take. But instead of, you know, focusing today on, you know, ways that you and I can die, you know, that kind of stuff, let's be a little bit more productive. And let's ask the question, what are you and I doing to prepare ourselves for that trip into eternity? This is a question, of course, that would apply to everybody. Okay, young or old, it really doesn't matter. The question is, are we using the resources that God has given us to prepare for eternity, or are we just using them for the temporary pleasures here on this earth? Are we investing in eternity, or are we only living for this fleeting moment? I guess a good question to ask ourselves is, how would a person know if they are investing in eternity, or if they are living only for the temporal things here on this earth? So let's see what Jesus had to say about being invested in eternity. So turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12. And in the Pew Bibles, it's page 1031. Okay, 1031. Luke chapter 12. And this is a long passage, okay, but I do want to read it. Okay, Luke 12, starting in verse 13. And I'm going to read all the way to verse 34. But Luke 12, starting in verse 13, says, "Then someone called from the crowd, 'Teacher, please tell my brother to divide my father's estate with me.' Jesus replied, 'Friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things as that?' Then he said, 'Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own.'" Okay, I mean, we always need to be reminded about this, okay, especially in today's world. Money, possessions, all of the things that the world can give us, those will not bring lasting satisfaction, okay, or fulfillment, lasting fulfillment. So Jesus says in verse 15, life is not measured by how much you own. And then he goes on in verse 16, then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, "What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops." Then he said, "I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, 'My friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool. You will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for?' Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." Verse 22, then turning to his disciples, Jesus said, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or enough clothes to wear, for life is more than food and your body more than clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, but for God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And if worry can't accomplish a little thing like that, what's the use of worrying over bigger things? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? And don't be concerned about what to eat and what to drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world. But your Father already knows your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to those in need. This will store up treasure for you in heaven, and the purses of heaven never get old or develop holes. Your treasure will be safe. No thief can steal it, and no moth can destroy it. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. So in this passage here, you have Jesus telling a parable, okay, about this rich guy. And he has this fertile farm, and it produces many crops. And he talks about what the guy thought to himself, okay? And but then in verse 22, it says, he turns to his disciples, and Jesus says, "That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life." You go, okay, what's he pointing back to? Why does he say, "That is why I tell you not to worry"? Well, he's, of course, referring back to the parable and in verse 21, where he says, "Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God." He's pointing back to that, and he's saying, if you only live for the present on this earth, okay, the present time on this earth, but you don't have a rich relationship with God, you're a fool. And he says, that's why I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. Okay, don't do that. Instead, you are to do other things. What are we called to do? Okay, if a person is a fool to live for temporary things of this earth, what should we do instead? And he tells us, he says, we should instead work on having a rich relationship with God. That is what we are called to do, to have a rich relationship with God. Well, how do you do that? How do you have a rich relationship with God? Okay, look at verse 22, okay? It says, Jesus says, "I tell you not to worry about everyday life." Okay, so we are not supposed to worry about everyday life because worrying doesn't accomplish anything. Okay, so we're not supposed to do that. Instead, we're supposed to trust in a loving God. Verse 31, it says, Jesus tells us to seek the kingdom of God above all else, okay, above everything. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? We are to do that, and God will take care of our needs. So that is another thing that we are to do. Okay? And then you go to verse 33. And what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to use what God has given us here on this earth to minister to others. And by doing this, we will store up treasures in heaven. Now, this is radically different than a different way to live than how the world lives, how people of this world live. Much of how we live our lives as Christians should be different than how our non-Christian friends lived their lives. Why? Because of our motivation. Okay, our motivation in life should be different than theirs. So, for instance, the way we spend our weekends, that should be different. Why? Because it should involve coming together with other believers, okay, to worship God together, as we're doing today, okay, to be able to encourage one another. You see, non-Christians have no reason to go to church. Why? Because they don't have a relationship with God. Okay? And so you understand. See, there's the motivation is paramount here. We have a different motivation than those that are non-Christians. How about this? The way we spend our money should be different. How is that? Well, part of our income should be given back to God as an offering to God. You see, that really does not make sense to a non-Christian. Okay, why should I give part of my money to God? I mean, you know, why even do that? See, if you don't have a relationship with God, that does not make sense. I always like to point out Rick Warren, who is a pastor at a Saddleback Church down in Orange County. He's the one who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life and a bunch of other books. But his book, The Purpose-Driven Life and The Purpose-Driven Church, touched so many people's lives and became a bestseller. And so what he decided to do was he decided to pay back his church the salary that his church has been giving him all of these years. Okay? And so instead of him getting a salary from the church, he started paying the church back instead. And because God blessed that book and some of his other work too, he calls himself a reverse tither. Okay? A reverse tither. Why? Because he gives 90% of his income away to charities, away to God. Okay? He gives that to God and he lives off of 10%. See, to a non-Christian, that makes complete, that's complete nonsense. Okay? That does not make sense. But that is what Rick Warren has chosen to do because his motivation is different. Okay? He has a different perspective of this life than someone who does not know God. The way that we use our time should also be different. Okay? We should be spending part of our time each day getting to know God better by reading his word, by praying, by doing service to others. We need to do these things. Once again, I mean, to a non-Christian, it's like, no, that time is mine, okay? I'm just going to use it to satisfy me. But see, what is happening is our motivation is very, very different, okay? We should spend time getting to know God. Think about it this way, and I like to have you think about this, saying, okay, if you want. If the way that you lived your life makes sense to non-Christians, then the chances are you are not living for eternity. Okay, let me say that again. If the way you lived your life makes sense to non-Christians, then chances are you're not living for eternity. The way you spend what God has given you, the way you spend your time, the way you spend your talent, the way you spend your treasures should baffle non-Christians because they only live for the things that they can see. You should be living for things that you cannot see. So in many areas of life, the way that you lived your life should not make sense to them. Now, let me give you an example. Author Randy Alcorn, he recalled a 2-month missions trip that he and his family took some years ago that included a visit to Egypt. He writes, "Well, in Egypt, Alcorn's host took him to visit an abandoned graveyard located at the end of a garbage-lined alley. The host pointed out one tombstone in particular, that of William Borden. And he was, it has the dates 1887 to 1913, okay? William Borden was the heir to the Borden Dairy Estate. William was a millionaire by age 21, but he renounced his fortune, giving nearly all his wealth to missions. His heart's desire was to take the gospel to Muslims in China. On his way to China, William stopped in Egypt to study Arabic. But 4 months later, he contracted spinal meningitis, and he died at the age of 25. Alcorn writes this, "I dusted off the inscription on the headstone of Borden's grave. After describing his love for Christ and his commitment to and his love for the Muslim people and his sacrifices for God's kingdom, the inscription ended with some words I wrote down on the spot, and I have never forgotten them to this day. The inscription ended with, 'Apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life.' Then Alcorn wrote, and I thought, 'Lord, what's the explanation for my life?'" You see, people who have made Christ the Lord of their lives and are living for eternity will live a life that doesn't make sense to people in this world. And it can't make sense unless it is looked at through the lens of eternity. William Borden, he gave away millions of dollars, okay, and this is back in, you know, early 1900s, right? He gave away millions of dollars, and then he died at the age of 25 on the mission field. And a non-believer might hear that and say, "What a waste of a perfectly good life." But Borden died living out God's call on his life. So to a Christian, that's really all that matters, because that's what counts for eternity. So in closing, I'd just like you to ask yourself that question. What is the explanation for the way I live my life? Is Christ really the Lord of your life? Are you really investing in eternity? These are important questions that you and I as Christians have to wrestle with in order to make sure that our lives will count for eternity. So may God help us to live each day for him until he calls us to be with him. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then I think they have the video set, so we'll watch that, okay? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you give us purpose and meaning in life. And I pray, Lord, that you might help us to live life for eternity, with eternity in view and focus. And Lord, that our eyes might always be pointed towards you and asking what you would want us to do. And so, Lord, for each person here, I pray that you might work in all of our lives. Lord, that wherever we are at, that you might meet us there. And Lord, that we might turn our lives over to you to make you the Lord of our lives. And Lord, that we might one day be able to hear you say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." In your name I pray. Amen.